Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Chas. That was quite exciting. Very good. When you talk to him, you would never expect anything to come out of his hands like that. You have a conversation with him, you're like, this is kind of boring. But you listen to him play the piano, it's awesome. Look, you do have a fan club. You have a fan base here. Actually, I'm very thankful for Brother Chaz. He's getting ready to he'll be leaving next week with the kids, going to camp. Going to go up into Washington and work with Brother Kyle McMillan for a couple of months, just looking for the Lord's direction. And he's doing a great job here. I just know that he's supposed to be moving toward a direction, and that's what he's looking for, is a good direction. So you pray for him. Lord's done good work. I told Rebecca that it makes me mad that people graduate from school and then they leave. So she's going to be going to North Carolina, and Harley's already gone to camp. I think she'd like to live up there if she could. But you pray for our kids, all of them that have graduated, that they'll make good decisions. Anyway, enough of that. You may or may not know that last week when Brother Chaz sang, that he wrote that song. So that's a blessing as well. Shows a lot of growth. Very thankful for that. All right. Well, this is a good, exciting message. I have no idea why I'm crying. Let's all stand together, turn to him. Psalm 77, hymn number 77. Yeah. Psalm 77. We'll read the entire psalm. The Bible says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Aren't you glad that he gives ear unto you? It's good to remember that he always is going to hear you when you cry out. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest... Wait a minute, let my eyes get adjusted. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. And God, thank you for the truth that helps us to see who you are. And in trouble, in even our deepest despair and desperation of soul and the troubled mind we have, and even the conflict we have with you, as we pour out our complaint, we should know, and we are glad that you hear. And then as we consider who you are, it should cause us to think in a different way and consider you in a different pattern in our lives and remember who you are. God, I pray that you would remind us again tonight, and I'm thankful for the reminders of who you are because they help us even in 2023, especially now, that we serve a great and mighty God, and there's no reason for us to fear because you have all of these things under control. And you alone are worthy for the praise, honor, and glory, and you alone are the leader. So I pray that we would see that tonight and be excited and changed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We looked this morning, of course, at the fact that God is very trustworthy. And when we begin to trust God's trustworthiness, it yields in us peace that we could never have without considering how trustworthy He is. So we looked at the questions that were asked, and they're hypothetical questions. The answer to all of them is, no, God would never do that. God would never do that. God would never do that. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? No, He would never do that. Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? No, He's never done that. How do you know? We're all still alive. That's how you know. The world is still functioning, moving forward. God's mercy is not done. God's grace is not done. Will it be done someday? Yes, He said He would not always strive with man. But right now, now that I'm able to even to complain with my voice, is proof that God has not done any of these things. So in verse number 10, there's a change in the tone and in the thinking. And here's what happens when you start looking at God and saying, okay, let's say you're in a desperate situation and you don't understand why your body is feeling the way that it is or why you're going through this conflict and what good is it? And what good is it accomplishing me? Because, you know, we know that in Romans, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who call to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we know that God is working all the time. And we don't necessarily see it all the time. That was the last psalm that we were in, Psalm 76, where God is always working. It's just not that we always know what He's doing because He doesn't have to explain to us what He's doing. So in that, Psalm 77 now says, so that's what I'm going to remember about God, is that He is always faithful. He's very trustworthy. He's never left me alone. And so because of that, now my mind has changed about my complaint. So if you'll go back up into verse number 3, listen to the tone here. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. So in verse number 3, he's complaining to God. He's saying to God, I'm not happy about this situation. I don't understand it. Now, again, don't get the idea that he's doing something wrong here. He's going to the right person who's going to hear him, but he's saying, I complained. Now down in verse number 10, he says, this is my infirmity. So in essence, he's saying, this isn't God's problem. This is my problem. this thinking is my thinking. This is not, God is not this person. So when I realize that God would not do these things, and I rest and I begin to consider and I think, he says, the first thing that I come to grips with is that this is my problem. This is not God's doing. Now, he's not saying this is my sin. He's saying this is my weakness. This is my struggle. As a man, I am given to this infirmity. I am bothered by this problem of looking at things from my perspective and being overwhelmed and saying to God, this is my complaint. And God is saying, well, have I ever done this? Have I ever done this? Have I ever done this? And when I start thinking about it, I say, no, no, no. And you go, Brother Ron, what's the precedent for this? Again, I'm telling you, this psalm ties very well with Job. And if you hear God say, where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did this? And who do you think you're talking to or talking about? And Job says, you know what? I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. I have nothing to say. Because there's no response. Well, he's saying, this is my infirmity. One of the things that we need to realize is that human beings are bent to complaining. Proof? Children of Israel. God causes water to come out of a rock. Out of a rock, they complain. We're going to see, you're going to see in 78, Psalm 78, I am convinced that Asaph was writing a cantata. And he starts in 77 talking about God and his change in his thinking, and then what needs to happen when we get a changed mind. It is, I believe this is something that was sung in concert together. I can't prove that, but the musician in me says, this goes together. This is like a song that, it's like, rouse then soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready? Well, you need all four of those verses to get to the last verse, so you're going, O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. This is, there's a theme here. There's something we're being taught. You go, well, why aren't they together? Well, this is the way God wants us to have them right here, so we'll see the break, so that we'll understand the thought processes. I'm not adding anything. I'm just saying it seems likely to me that these are in concert with one another. They were sung together. So here's the first thing that I'm going to realize. I'm the one with the problem. God's not. God did nothing to get me here. The Bible says in James that God cannot sin, neither does he tempt with sin. Yet I've heard many people to say this, then why does God put things in front of me to make me sin? That's not, you know who the problem is? You. You're enticed and led away of your own lusts. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, that's the same way with complaining. No matter how good we have it, rather than praise, we tend to complain. It's who we are. We could have, you could look at somebody at your age, this is what I have to do quite often, and say, wow, they're in bad shape, and still I could complain about something just really insignificant, like running over my foot with a big deal full of bricks and running over my toe, and now my foot, and it's all black and blue down there, and it's awesome. And I could say, oh man, I'm so crippled up. God, why did you let this happen to me? What was I doing? I was simply moving bricks. And then some really close person to me, really good friend, said, you should have had them delivered. That's what I do. Just didn't think about it. But I do have a tendency to, I mean, if we're going to be honest, we do. We have a tendency to complain. You know why? It is our nature. So when I recognize that I'm the one with the problem, here's how we get rid of it. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. you know what? I'm going to start remembering and thinking about the power of God that's been proven to me time and time again in my life. The protection of God, the hand of God, the provision of God. I'm going to remember that about God. I'm going to quit thinking about this complaint that I have, and I'm going to start looking at God from a different perspective. And my perspective should be this. I'm going to remember, listen, he's not in this. Remember earlier he remembers God and he was troubled in verse number 3? Now I'm going to remember God, and I'm going to remember that God is all-powerful and that God has always done this right. I'm going to remember his strength, his right hand. That's what his right hand is a picture of. It's a picture of his strength, of his power, of his ability. I'm going to remember that about God. I'm not going to complain to God. I'm going to remember that God is God and there is none else. He's the one that I'm actually complaining to. Because he says in verse number 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And that powerful God, that God who has really the ability to squish me, he gave ear unto me. That's what I'm going to remember. Have you ever stopped and wondered, why was I born in America? Why was I born into the family that I was born into? What? One of the things that young people start struggling with at some point in their lives, I did, I mean, almost everybody does, especially when your parents are disciplinarians, or you could say mean, when they start telling you what to do, occasionally, there's a point sometimes in your life, as a kid especially, that you go, well, I don't know why I had to be in this family. Why I'm in this family. Now, some people never get over that. But have you ever wondered why you are where you are? Some of it has a little bit to do with your parents. Regardless of what happened in your life, God showed himself mighty. You were born in America. You were born with freedom. What a horrible thing to look at God's power and you, when you do, you can't complain. Why? Because you know he hears you. My complaints are now ended. Why? Because I know that God is all powerful. I'm going to remember that. Well, how is he going to remember that? He's going to do what David did. He's going to remember it by rehearsing it in his mind from his word. They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They had some of the Psalms. They already at this time had written scripture, especially that of Moses. And Moses is the one who told them, when you get in a place in Deuteronomy 32:7 and you can't remember why you're here, remember who put you there. An almighty, all-powerful God. So instead of complaining, I'm going to start remembering that God is all-powerful. In verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. I'm going to look around me and I'm going to see what God has done. Instead of being absorbed and consumed with myself and my problems, I'm going to start seeing the wondrous works that God has proven himself mighty in. Have you ever gone to the ocean and wondered why the water doesn't keep coming up all up on the shore and all of... God is the one who said, hey, I'm the one who told it to stay there. That's pretty wondrous. I've said this before and we'll probably reference it again coming in this morning. I'm watching the sunrise. It was an awesome sunrise. If you missed it, you missed a great sunrise. It was awesome. You could look into the sun for a little while. The sun was coming up. There was a haze because there were clouds in the east. And it was coming up through those clouds. It was awesome. You say, well, I'll never be up that early. You're missing something. Sunday's the only morning I'm up that early. But anyway, and of course, when the sun sets in the west, I think Kansas has some of the prettiest sunsets ever. When you look out across there and you see the sun setting, that's the wondrous work of God. Don't act like that's science. That's the wondrous work of God to, To call it just science, which there is science to it, there's no doubt about it, but to call it just that is to remove the wondrous work of God. Consider, when you're complaining, consider the wondrous works. Remember, God would never leave you. God is always going to be gracious. He's going to be merciful. And if you're born again, that never runs out on you. Ever. You could die right now and you're going to be in heaven. And I'm certain that when we get in heaven, we're going to realize, that'll be the point we realize, wow, God was certainly gracious to us to allow us to accept Him, because I get to be here for eternity. Remember His wondrous works. And there are so many we could rehearse. I really believe that for Asaph writing here, he is remembering the mighty works of God, because he's going to explain them, begin a little bit here in 77 and then go into great detail in Psalm 78 about the great and wondrous works of God. And I know that he's thinking about how God sustained the children of Israel, how he delivered them. He even says that here. He's remembering the wondrous works. How am I going to overcome this complaint? I need to just reconcile with myself that the complaining is my infirmity. It's not God's fault. And so I need to remember who God is, not just in fear, but in awe and in thanksgiving. He says, then I will remember thy wonders of old. Have you ever considered that God spoke the world into existence? Have you ever even been able to speak a child into obedience? I'll go further. Have you ever been able to speak a dog into obedience? Stephen always wanted to be in charge of something. We put him in charge of the dog. He was never in charge of the dog. The dog was in charge of him. In fact, that's the way it is now, especially if you have a cat. They're always in charge no matter what they think, what you think about it. But think about this. God spoke the world into existence. Isn't there anything that stirs in you to think that God hears you and that God cares and that God is the God that saved you? He is Creator God. The wondrous works of old that no one knows. Think about the flood. He caused the waters of the earth to burst out of the bowels of the earth. I think I've told you this many times. I am a Discovery watcher because I like to see how they explain things, especially when things like the flood. And I just recently watched a special. They're doing this series on things that are unexplainable. And one of the things that's unexplainable is where did the flood myth come from? That's what they called it. The flood myth. Now, they show all these pictures that obviously there was a cataclysmic flood that caused those things. They even say that. But they will not say. They actually go to the account in Noah, or about Noah in Genesis. They actually refer to the Genesis account of the flood, and they're trying to explain it. And I am sitting there, I'm not mad. I'm thrilled that I believe that it happened just like God said it happened. Why? He did it. Yeah. We're not meant to explain what God can do. We don't know. I mean, I still don't get how a beautiful baby could be born to ugly people. I don't know how it happens. I'm talking about me, people. My children are good-looking kids. I look and I go, dude, look at me. Doesn't anything inspire awe? You know why it doesn't in us? We're so calloused by things. Remember, he's looking at the wondrous works of old, and God says, I did this, and I did this. And here's what Asaph is saying, and I believe it. Why? Because he is that God. In fact, he further explains, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Wouldn't it be awesome that if your complaint turned into you talking about how good God is? Your complaining turned to, did you know God did this and God did this and God did this? The thing that concerns me most today in dealing with people who should know the Bible is that we probably don't know the Bible well enough to even explain that God did this, and I can overcome my complaining by just saying, how could God possibly come down on the temple after it's finished, and his presence drove people to their faces? That is a mighty God. There's no other God that's ever been that mighty. There are many tales all over the world, and that's the thing you learn whenever you watch how they try to explain things like the flood. There are all kinds of tales, and they're going to tell you that this tale was told way before Noah even existed. Before the tale of Noah even existed. They say it's so familiar that it was probably copied into the Genesis account. And I think, wow, I'm so glad that I don't believe that. You got the tablet of Gilgamesh, you've got this, you've got that. I mean, they have explanations for everything they think. But that's why the Bible says science so-called. Without God, there would be no science. Wouldn't it be great if we started talking more about what God has done and how good God is, rather than complaining all the time? I know for me, it'd be awesome. I'm going to try to practice this while I drive. It'll be a good thing for me to do. I'm just going to start practicing it. I'll see the person cut me off like they did today, and I'll just say, you know, God, that sun is bright. That's awesome. I got to figure out some way to get over my complaint. You want me to tell you what he says? I'll meditate on it, and this is going to be what permeates from my mouth. I'm going to talk about it. The wondrous God. Next time you're complaining about someone or some ailment, start talking about how great God is and the power of God. I've yet to hear anybody overcome their complaining by saying, I was reading my Bible today. You know why? Because it's so rare that we read in our Bible today. Well, Brother Ron, do you really believe that? I would not dare go around this room and ask who's read their Bible today or who read it this week more than Wednesday or Sunday. Why? Well, if you do read your Bible, you would be disappointed, and I don't want to know because it's none of my beeswax. But I will tell you this much. If you're going to talk about God, you're going to have to know about Him. And I've talked to too many Christians that think they know about Him, but they don't. How do you know? Because of the way they say the verses they're trying to quote. When you start talking about a verse and you try to make it something that is only about your situation, you've already lost it, because the Bible says that these things happen in all of your brethren everywhere, and God knows it, and He's working in it. You and I, we do have a struggle talking about God. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. Sports, that's a big thing to talk about. People who love baseball right now are talking about sports. People who love the NBA, they're talking about basketball. Oh no, it's easy to talk about all of those things. But what about your meditation? What you meditate on is what you talk about. I guess that's probably the best way to look at it, because that's what he says. I'm going to meditate on you, on your work, and then I'm going to talk of your doings. Why? Because thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Have you considered that God is greater than any God the world has ever been able to create? That He is the only God who gave Himself for us, that we would not have to suffer the punishment of hell that was built for the devil and his angels? Have you stopped and considered that He is our God? He's not a God. He's not God sitting up on a throne with a lightning bolt. He is the God of heaven who created all of this and still wants to have fellowship with us through His Son. That is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. As I said this morning, God doesn't need to prove Himself because He's already proved Himself. In just the act of salvation alone, He's proved Himself. But consider that there's no one else created the heavens and the earth. When we were in Indiana, we had a conversation with the pastor's father-in-law, who is a Vietnam vet, and he went to Vietnam and saw all kinds of horrible things, was openly talking to us about it, Twyla and I. And I was encouraged. I was thinking, wow, that I've never talked to a Vietnam vet. And I was telling him, I was thanking him for, you know, desiring to do it. And he looked at me and said, you know, I had no idea what I was doing then. But I do know that I was in a foxhole and I had heard the gospel. And I said, I'm not getting out of this. And so I cried out. He said, you know, God saved me right there in that foxhole. He said, years later, after I came home and went through all the stuff, he said, you know, we did our job, we came home, we just didn't talk about it. It was what we were supposed to do, it was our job. We were protecting our country, we were serving our country, it's what we were supposed to do. And I think that's admirable. I know every person can't do that, but he was able to do it with God. And he said, I drank and I did some stuff that I shouldn't, but then somebody came and invited me to church, and I started going to church. He said, I'd never really gone consistently to church, but I knew that's where I was supposed to be. He said, so the very first thing I got into was discipleship, and then I got into soul winning. And I was with the guy who was training me to be a soul winner, and I was talking to him, and I said to him, how do you explain God? And the man looked at me and said, you don't. He said, I was so confused. What do you mean you don't? Well, he said, I kind of let that lie. I didn't want to make him mad. I didn't know. He seemed a little stern. So he said, I kind of turned away from that thought. Then I came back to him. He said, I got to know why you said you don't explain God. He said, well, you don't know this about me, but I was one of 7 nuclear scientists that worked on the Manhattan Project. And he said, all 7 of us started to work with the atom and looked at each other and said, there is no way that just happened. God made that. Somebody made that, and it has to be God. So he said, we started looking. Who is the person that made this? And we found, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we saw in the Bible where He created the things that are not seen. And we started thinking, we actually see this, and God had to have created it. And all 7 of them got saved. And he said, that's why I'm telling you don't have to explain God. He's already explained Himself. He doesn't need you to give an explanation of who He is. And you have no right to ask Him to explain. He's proven who He is. You go, well, if a man would say that and he got saved from being an atheist and a man working on a project that he just thought would change the world to the point that he believed God, then why are we always asking God to prove Himself to us? Well, God, if you'll just do this, I would believe. Now, it's not for salvation. We're just saying, I just don't see God. I don't see God working. God doesn't have to show you what He's doing. He's always doing wondrous things. He's always doing wondrous work. He has declared His strength among the people. Very emphatically. And here's how He's done it. Thou hast with thine arms redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. God Himself is the one who took the children of Israel out of Egypt. And He reminds them over and over and over and over and over again to remind themselves and their children over and over and over and over again, I am the God that led thee out of the land of Egypt. No one else did. He said, you delivered Jacob and Joseph. Now, if you think about this, Jacob and Joseph is significant because Joseph is in Egypt. And Joseph would be, Ephraim would become the leader of Israel when the 10 tribes split. Those who were considered the sons of Jacob would be those who were Judah and Benjamin. They were the ones Judah would rule. Jacob was the ruler. He was the one who had the prince that had the power with God. And so when he's saying that, he's saying, God, I know that you redeemed us. And so I'm going to rest right there. While I'm meditating, I'm going to think, you don't need to prove yourself. You've already proved it. You've redeemed us. The second thing he says there, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy ways in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. He says, when I look and I see creation, and I see all of the creation following your design and your creative instructions, do this, do this, do this, do this, stay here, be this. He said, when I look at that, the waters are afraid of you. And I see that and I start meditating and remembering and I go, am I afraid? Do I respond like the waters? Do I expect God to show Himself to me all the time? The Bible says, nobody knows where your footsteps go. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about a practical thing that when you look around at the way nature is, what we call nature, but creation, when you start looking at all this, it's not evolution that brought the animals to do what they do right now. They were created that way. The waters doing what they do. And when we went through the book of Job, we went through this. But if you want to be reminded of it, there is actually a river that runs through the oceans. And Job talks about it. There's actually a river. Lightning actually begins in a certain spot. And that's the place that it originates. And then that's where it is, where it looks like it's striking. It's actually already a destination chosen by God, and that's what he's saying. When creation looks at you, they do exactly what you say. That's what I'm going to meditate on. Not my problem, but I'm going to meditate, God, on you, because my mind is changed about who you are. And if there's anything we need today in 2023, we've needed it for a long time, but we as Christians need it more really than the world does. Because if we were convinced that God is this God, maybe we would tell people more. Maybe we'd be more pressed to live like we belong to this God. We're sitting at home last night. There's no clouds around us, but there are clouds to the south. And all of a sudden, a crack. Thunder. It lightning somewhere, and it felt like it was right near us. And you could feel the earth going. Have you ever considered? He said, that's your voice, God. Watch. He descends down on Mount Sinai. And it's dark, thick clouds. The Bible says there's lightning and thunderings and the voice of a trumpet. And the earth shook. Jesus Christ died on the cross and the earth shook. Nobody else has ever died and that's happened. He's that God. The earth fears Him. Do you? Do I? And then He, as if He's in the middle of something, He says, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." It's as if in His mind, at this point, we're going to take a little conclusive consideration and say, the God that creation fears chose to lead His people out of Egypt at the hand of Moses and Aaron. He chose someone to lead us. On purpose, He chose them. On purpose, He did it for His people. Why would I complain when He is that God? If you're waiting for life to be fair, it is never going to happen. Sin ruined that. And fair was never God's plan. It was fellowship. The God who created the universe decided that He wanted to redeem people back to Him. And so He sent His Son, who was working in the world to reconcile men to God. That's the God that we still serve. He's the same God. Have you meditated so much that you recognize, you know, my flippant life that I am consumed with, the life that I think is so huge, is really insignificant when compared to who God is. So why wouldn't I trust Him with everything in my life? He's the God of the universe. He's the God that on purpose chose to send somebody to you to witness to you so that you would be saved. He chose someone. Has He chosen you to tell someone? Sure. Why? Because He's in the business of trying to reconcile men back to Himself so that He can have fellowship with them because they want to have fellowship with Him. He's that God. I'm telling you, it's a continuing song. I'm certain of it. I've never read that, but it's the thoughts that we're getting ready to enter into make perfect sense, that there is something more that I need to understand about God. And it happens when I say, you know what? This is my infirmity. I need to start remembering who God is. I need to start remember His works. I need to remember His power. I need to remember His wonders of old. And I need to meditate on those things because that will change your perspective. You'll never be the same. And you only do that in His Word. Consider who God is, and that trusting God's trustworthiness always will lead you to a path of peace. When you start believing He is who He says He is, it's life changing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.